live from Portland, Rick Emerson. He's back. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Doug Poffenrod doesn't even sound like a real name. It sounds like a name of one of those Johnny Carson characters, like Doug Poffenrod from Hop and Stuff.
A Marty Krofft creation.
A Quinn Martin production. Hey, it's 2 minutes 52 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of... You can really track, by the way, you know you do that thing in science class where you cut open a tree and you count the rings and then you can tell how old it is and you can tell when there was a fire and when some sort of Dutch elm disease swept through the forest because you can see the, you know, some sort of alteration of the ring or some sort of, you know, one of the rings has gone all higgledy-wiggledy or something. So it is with my pop culture references. You know what, I'm just sort of this weird landfill of pop culture that you can date back. Like, you can carbon date me, like, to the freaking month I was born by my pop culture references. Because you never hear me talking about... You never hear me making any remarks about the, you know, whatever. About, like, Eco Challenge 2003 or whatever the hell Matt's watching over there. I'm over here saying a Quinn Martin production. And there's only, like, the tiniest window of people who even know what that means. Here's another thing. Let me say this. I was doing the... it was on the internet last night. A guy sent me a thing. A guy sent me a link to Time Life because they're now selling the best of Ren and Stimpy on DVD. And so I go through all these different phases of dork last night when I'm looking at the Ren and Stimpy DVDs for sale, which I will not bore you with now because I haven't, you know, I haven't even introduced the show. But I'll tell you about it here in a short while because I know it's just the sort of thing you long to hear about when you turn on the radio. And be horse buggering every day. Not that we don't do our best on that score.
Even respectable people wanted to hear more on that. Dave Paul's up in the hallway.
It's a feel-good story of the year. It's the only story that matters. You know what we don't do here? Well, we don't do a lot of things. We don't have self-respect. We don't do the news correctly. We don't play our sound cuts in the right order. But we also don't... We don't do any of those, you're counting down the top 10 stories of 2003... We ought to do that. We're going to do that this year. We've never done it. We've never counted down the biggest stories of the year. But we're going to count down the biggest stories of the year like KOTK style. Like the 10 biggest stories in our little corner of the world. Because I can tell you right now, I don't give two flying F's at a rolling donut about Medicare. I just don't. I don't care. It doesn't. And maybe that makes me a bad person.
Well, the serial horse rapist from Flat Rock, wherever.
That's in the lead for number one right now.
And I'm thinking Mitchell Bickford is a close second.
Bickford. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. So, so as we get closer to the end of the year, we'll do that. I've now gone on three separate tangents. Haven't even told you who I am. It's just the sort of thing management loves. It's 5 minutes and 21 seconds after the hour 12, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord 2003. It's the Rick Emerson Show. That's what it is right here. The show hosted by me, Rick Emerson. Right here on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK, we're here with Sarah Dillon, Tim Riley, F. Matt Peterson. It is Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Don't you forget, we're going to be here tomorrow live doing our annual Thanksgiving show because Rick Emerson cares deeply about each and every one of you. We'll be here Friday as well. Friday is going to be a good show. Friday, Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to be live in studio with us, playing music that he himself performed and recorded, which will almost certainly be better than anything done by the Tim Riley Factor. So that's coming up Friday. Today, CNN radio correspondent Jim Rube is going to be here. We have Haggis news. We have a Brittany watch, a Hick watch involving the Klan. You can't get involving the Klan and head injuries. You can't get better than that. We actually got multiple head wound stories today. We're going to get to those later on. We got to today's top five coming up in the third hour of the show. In the third hour today, we got today's top five. Been a bad month for heroes, man. So we got today's top five songs with the word hero in the title. That's coming up later on in the third hour. In the second hour, Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think, because Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow and it's all about eating. We're going to talk about dishes, dinners, or foods you can make for a chick that'll get you in like Flynn. All right. And something else. Something else. What the hell is it? I forget. It'll come back to me. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're moments away from a working-class hero, Tim Riley, in the KOTK newsroom. This, however, is Radio Gangster by our good friend, The Low. It's Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Gangsta. Gangsta.
Yo, it's time for Rick Emerson, it must be new. How did 21 hours tick away so soon? Turned off the TV, hands off my radio, damn it. I gotta hear Rick's thesis on what's wrong with the planet. I'm stuck on I-5 and better get used to chilling, cause it's all backed up, but I got the traffic from Sarah Dillon. I'm mad about the traffic and just because of that, I'ma call up the show and sponsor an F-Mat. Clyde Lewis is the man, and don't forget that. I don't know what he does, but his name sounds fat. Jolie from the front desk is unstoppable. Find out how chicks think, yo, that's impossible. I better come up with a gig like a threesome I never did. Then Rick will get my song and play it for all the kids. But if not, you never know that this record was ever made. He's a radio gangster and he's got to get paid. Cause he's the radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
And he's not having it. The radio gangster.
Yeah.
He's not having it.
It's not just news, it's News with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
It's already starting. A garbage truck has burst into flames on Highway 217, leaking fuel over the northbound lanes at Barnes Road. Now the highway's right lane is closed. Emergency crews contained the fire and are working to clean up the diesel spill. The driver escaped uninjured. We'll have more horrific holiday stories, including stabbings, attempted suicides, and perhaps a fire or two later on in this newscast.
Wait, don't we have, didn't at one point, didn't we have a theme for that? Didn't we have a theme we made for this last year? When we were doing Rick Emerson's Joy of Christmas or something? Didn't we do that? We put together some whole, opening for horrific holiday stories.
We really did.
Is it gone?
I'm sure it is. Seems how, everything. People have gone through and just deleted like thousands of files out of our system over the last several months.
Well, thanks for that.
So that's we've lost a lot of stuff that we don't use on a daily basis.
Well, it's probably too early anyway. We probably should wait until Friday. All that stuff should start on Friday, because Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, that's the first. Can I just tell you, man? I was at the mall the other day.
Yes.
And holiday decorations everywhere. You know, you can't put those things up early enough for me. Those could go up in June. It doesn't even matter.
This is another case of you being absolutely incorrect.
I don't care, man. Holiday stuff, you know, could just stay up. Christmas things could just stay up 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Christmas should not ever start until the day after Thanksgiving. Leave your crap put away until then.
Day after Halloween, for all I care.
It starts before Halloween.
And we can skip. Well, it does, because you start to see, you know, little gnomes and whatnot on shop windows. But it's like you could go right from Halloween, like, to what's that store? Illuminations. You know what I'm talking about? That store at the, downtown? So that the whatever the mall is downtown, it's like a holiday. It's not a holiday store, but it's a store where they just sell. It's the sort of place you really would never expect to find me, but you know, they just sell candles and decorations and, you know, just like crap, like tchotchkes for your home. But every month is like a different theme. It's like they get a whole new inventory basically every month. Like in October, it's just stuff that's like black and orange and white and kind of Halloween. And then in November, it's just stuff that's, you know, like orange and brown. And then they get Christmas. I forget what I was talking about. Something, decorations. Anyway, yeah. You could, I mean, it doesn't even matter, man. You can just put that stuff up, because Thanksgiving's a stupid holiday. Thanksgiving is a stupid holiday. There's nothing good. The only good thing about Thanksgiving is, you know, is, wait, it'll come to me.
Stovetop stuffing.
Time and a half. That's it. That's the only good thing about Thanksgiving, man. If you're working on the holiday and you get time and a half, that's it. That's all. There's nothing useful about Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is a good holiday.
It's not a good holiday.
It is a good holiday.
What is good about Thanksgiving?
It's all about like community coming together and being with friends and family.
You're going to be here.
I'll be with you guys.
You're with me today.
With friends.
You're with me today. Doesn't make it a goddamn holiday.
Well, no, but tomorrow we celebrate things that we're thankful for and look at all the good things in our lives.
Yeah.
$2
an hour. The fact that you're working on a holiday for slave wages.
I liked Thanksgiving when I was younger because you get all the food of Christmas, but I didn't have to go to church.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you don't have to go and praise the name of Jesus. That is the one. That is the one advantage I will give you. The Thanksgiving, unless you were in my house, in which case there was like no day that wasn't. There was no occasion too small to go to church in my house. It was like 6 days a week, man. You were there just on your knees having to sing to the Holy Host. It was just a big pain. I forget what we were talking about. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, we'll get to all that in a minute, but first the important stuff. Question: do Bounty paper towels really absorb more? This is up to an arbitrator to find out. The battle of Brawny versus Bounty is going into binding arbitration. The companies that make the two paper towel brands have agreed to take that step in a legal dispute over Bounty's advertising claims. Georgia-Pacific, that makes Bounty, no, that makes Brawny, says that the Bounty ads are misleading. The company wants to force Procter & Gamble to stop claiming that Bounty paper towels absorb more liquid than Brawny. The panel of three independent advertising professionals will review the case and make a ruling. In the meantime, the Procter & Gamble spokesperson tells the Atlantic Constitution that the Bounty ads will continue. Bounty has a 32% of the paper towel market compared to 11% for Brawny.
Which is the one that has the big homoerotic mountain man on the front?
Brawny.
Brawny, okay. All right. I just buy whatever, you know, I'm like all guys, whatever's on sale at Safeway. Doesn't matter. Whatever they're selling for like 99 cents. It's like my shampoo, you know? People are like, well, what kind of shampoo? It's like whatever comes in a, like a big gallon at Costco. You know, it's like whatever. It's just, what?
Or the off-brands, you know, Frederica Meyer paper towels.
Seriously. Safeway Select. You know, it's just, it's like a huge vat of shampoo that you can get for like $3.99. The best part is it's got the conditioner right in it. So
yeah,
there you go.
It came from some rendering plant in Pendleton or something.
Totally.
Not that it matters.
It's like just sticking your head in a bucket of lard and kerosene. Yeah, okay.
The Seattle City Council is considering the Elvis cab ordinance. It will allow drivers to dress as Elvis. Drivers are now required to wear black pants and crisp shirts. The proposed ordinance was prompted by cab driver Dave Groh, who was forced to stop wearing his Elvis costume. Let's see. The city bans masks, too much facial paint, floppy shoes, and skimpy outfits. That's in Seattle.
All right.
From California comes word. One Fairfield High School student called it the grossest experience of his life. He was talking about the day when maggots fell out of the ceiling of his portable classroom during American Lit class.
Yeah.
They blamed the disgusting mess earlier this month on pigeons nesting on the roof. Some died, and flies laid eggs on the corpses. A few days later, a half a dozen maggots rained down on the class. The students were quickly hustled outside, and maintenance crews soon condemned the structure. It'll be torn down over Christmas break. And district officials say it will not be replaced.
How? What class was it? How old were they?
High school students in an English literature class.
I guess you've sort of passed the. I guess you sort of passed the stage where that sort of thing is great. If you were like fifth grade or something, man, that'd be the best day of your life. That'd be the great. See, there is this sort of weird where things go from being fantastic to just being foul in about a year and a half. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's puberty or whatever. But it's like when you're a kid, there's no such thing. When you're a young boy, anyway, there's no such thing as something that's too revolting or too disgusting for you to find interesting. It's like you will find groups of young boys, like 11 years old, out behind, you know, somebody's house in the woods poking a dead badger with a spoon. Just for no, why? It's because it's squishy and it makes an interesting sound. You know, all day long. You know, what are you doing? I'm gonna go poke a badger with a stick. Do you wanna go? Alright, you know, and so you just go out there and just poking the dead badger with a spoon all day long. It's what boys do. Maggots are interesting to boys too. Maggots are interesting to, do you ever do this? Never mind. Let's not talk about it. It's lunch hour.
We can save for the 1 o'clock hour. Okay, put on your seatbelts. Here we go. A Maryland man whose attempted suicide blew up his house and ended up injuring seven others has been charged with reckless endangerment. Cecil Hines' attorney, William Scott Patterson, said the incident is painful for all involved.
It's a very tragic situation with regard to the Hines family, the immediate family, Mr. and Mrs. Hines, and their two children, the extended Hines family, and the neighbors.
So he tried to asphyxiate himself by disconnecting a gas pipe from a clothes dryer, except it blew up the house instead.
It's an unfortunate situation. It's not, certainly weren't surprised by it.
Then we have the 83-year-old woman whose wheelchair has been stolen. Happened in Salem. She told police she thought the chair would be safe parked on the sidewalk because she removed the key needed to run it. She went into a friend's house and found it was gone. When she returned, the chair is worth $5,000.
Oh, this is like one of the rascal... Wait. I don't understand. How did she get out of the chair? How did she get into the store if she left the chair outside?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It hasn't been addressed.
She took the chair to the store and then, or to wherever. Where was it? A store or a friend's house?
A friend's house.
And then the chair got left outside while she
visited.
Walked inside.
Well, my grandma uses a walker, but she has one of those rascal things.
Okay.
She can go like 50 miles an hour. What's down the hallway.
Wow. They will run your ass over with those things. Do you ever
it's
the
better
super,
than a Segway.
Well, you mean the supermarket and there's somebody, you know, behind you, like in the coffee aisle and some old person trying to get around you on those things? So, I went, because, you know, there's two types of people who have the rascal. There's the people who have, well, I guess there's three. The people who can't walk, just like can't walk at all for whatever reason. There's people can only walk short distances because they got the gout or something. You know, they got the bunions or something. And then there's people who are just fat. And we've all seen those people that are too fat to walk anywhere.
It's lunchtime buffet.
That's exactly, they're on their way to, get to grandma's smorgasbord to, you know, 50% off all starchy food today. You know, so they're there and they're just, you know, packing their fat ass into their rascal like sausage inside a casing. So, and that's probably what this woman was.
Let's see here. Oh, I had one more here. Transportation stuff. Transportation officials are offering tips to move Thanksgiving holiday travelers through the airport quickly and safely. Spokeswoman Chris Radigan of whatever this place is says, make sure not to bring any prohibited objects such as sharp. Somebody got their microwave confiscated today. You can't bring a microwave on an airplane.
You know, the list of things that they let you take on and not check, though, is sort of impressive. Because we were just going to the hell, going to a place. Oh, well, you know, because we went to Utah while back, and Lauren went to New Orleans. And it's then, you know, you take the laptop on. I have this little MP3 player, you know, that it's like it's, but they don't know what, they don't know what the hell it is. They're morons. And they just let me take it right on. Don't even check it. Don't look at it. Don't do anything.
So, they say, avoid wrapping gifts if you're going on a plane.
Unfortunately, if we have to open your gift, we're going to ruin that great wrapping job you did. So leave your gifts unwrapped, and if we have to look at them for an inspection purposes, we'll be able to close the box up, and you can wrap it when you get to where you're going.
I think they ought to be required to wrap it back up themselves. You bring something, if they have to open anything, their ass ought to be the ones who have to reclose it. Bunch of dicks. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We got more on the way. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who I think is at an airport today, right? He's at LAX? Yeah, that'll be
fun. He's at LAX.
He'll be in a good mood. So Jim Roop's coming up to talk to us about holiday travel. Later on, we got a Britney watch, also a Hick watch coming up. Jolie from the front desk, top five songs with the word hero in the title. It's all coming up. It's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Stay there. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up here in about, 5-6 minutes, we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop, who's imprisoned at Los Angeles International Airport. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Picture this. John Hinckley, home for the holidays. A heartwarming Christmas special.
I just saw a little snapshot of him on television. I forgot how. I mean, I didn't realize. I guess it's been, 20 years?
Yeah.
Something like that. I didn't even recognize him.
So even as a shrink, calls for Hinckley's release from a mental hospital for visits with his parents. The wife of one of the men he shot is arguing about it.
Let me guess, it's, what's her name, Susan Brady or yep. Whatever the hell her name is.
She thinks it's a bad idea. The wife of Jim Brady says her husband fears for their safety in a letter to the court that was released today.
Husband,
she says
her husband fears elves at this point. That's
kind of
what Jim
Brady's life once before. They don't want him to do it again. Either physically or emotionally. I haven't seen him on TV in a long time.
No. Well, no, it's because, I haven't seen Hinckley. I haven't seen any of the people involved in this. I haven't seen either the Bradys. I haven't seen the Hinckley. I haven't seen anybody because, I mean, I don't want to sound cruel, but I mean, she made just a whole cottage industry out of pushing that guy's wheelchair around and pushing for assault rifle bans, you know? So, I mean, but then ever since she got kind of the bulk of that pass, she sort of faded back into the woodwork, so.
Let's see, going back here again from Yakult, Washington, a fire that killed a 6-year-old boy and badly burned his brother's sternum and the parents tried to light a wood stove with gas. It burned down their double-wide trailer, and the fire department couldn't get there because the dirt road was all muddy.
Ah, good God.
Meanwhile, well, the news isn't all bad. Officials with the Oregon Department of Agriculture have lifted a ban on mussels and clams, except for razor clams, because they were given to children on Halloween by some sick mind. Beaches, jetties, and bays in Oregon south of Seaside remain closed to razor clamming because they are dangerous. A test on toxin the first week of November showed levels of that area safe. So most clams are okay for all you clammers out there. Oh, do I have to read this? I guess I do. San Diego County's Animal Service Department has filed a complaint against a veterinarian who allegedly authorized a Valley Center egg ranch to kill 30,000 hens by dumping them alive into a wood chipper. Reports by the county recently obtained, put the squirming birds by the bucket into the machine.
Birds by the bucket. Jesus. Didn't we have a rock-crushing death the other day?
That was yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, we had a rock-crushing death followed by the horse humping.
I think that was the story of the year here.
Jesus. Somebody, we had that guy, I forget where it was, but some guy was killed by being put into a rock crusher. Somebody emailed and wanted to know if the guy had a pasty complexion.
Then a gym instructor is taking legal action after allegedly being sexually harassed at a military base in the territory of what? It doesn't say. Amanda Keeley claims she was felt up and chased by a man who tried to force her to eat a banana at a barracks. The man, who was not a member of the Australian Defense Force, oh, this is from Australia, seductively peeled the banana in front of her and started sucking on it. He allegedly told the blonde gym instructor he fantasized about her sexy hot body every night. He says Ms. Keeley was asked if she wanted to share his banana. The man chased her around the kitchen and grabbed her from behind as he tried to force feed her the banana. When she refused to eat the banana, the man allegedly let go of her and allegedly said, I better stop before someone sees and thinks this is sexual harassment.
Yeah, too late. I had a girlfriend that you could chase around the apartment with a pickle because she just had this weird, I don't know what it is, man. It was like Sarah being afraid of squishy boobs, except it was a pickle. She had a pathological fear of pickles for reasons kind of unbeknownst to anyone. The reasons I didn't really want to delve too deeply
into. Did it also apply to cucumbers?
No, just pickles. Cucumbers, I mean, she wasn't a fan, but I mean, she wasn't afraid of them. Pickle, man, you put a pickle in your hand, and I'm not speaking in code. I mean, literally just like a gherkin. In your hand, you could chase her for 500 miles waving a pickle. She was so terrified, was she? If you ever had anything in the house you didn't want to eat, you know, you're at a restaurant, something you wanted to save all for yourself, you just kind of, you know, you just put a pickle next to it. Let the pickle touch it, she'd never eat it. Wouldn't touch it, wouldn't get near with a 10-foot pole. Here's Tim Riley.
Half of the Jackson Watch.
Here's your Jackson Watch.
Once again, I have a pile of stuff here. First, we have Santa Barbara County's jovial district attorney Tom Sneddon saying he's very sorry that last week's press conference turned into a wacky yuck fest. Here's the clip that people are complaining about.
Last question. To parents who let their children go to Neverland Ranch on sleepovers. What is your
question? My advice is don't do it.
Yes, he also apologized for calling Michael Jackson Wacko Jacko on Court TV.
I think the criticism was valid. I think that, to some extent, that was inappropriate. I feel bad about it. I feel bad about it because I think I should have known better. I feel bad about it because somebody would assume that that I'm making light of a thing where I know there's a serious crime and that there are victims that have been hurt in a family. And I believe that some of the criticism is certainly well-founded.
He called him Wacko Jacko?
Yeah, in Court TV.
That seems ill-advised.
It does. Let's not forget the funniest line that came from Jackson's lawyer yesterday.
We will land on you like a ton of bricks. We will land on you like a hammer. If you do anything to besmirch this man's reputation, anything to intrude on his privacy in any way that's actionable, we will unleash a legal torrent like you've never seen.
Yeah, Mark Garagos is a freaky guy, though. I saw the list of the people he'd represented. Well, we were talking about this last week. It's not just Scott Peterson and Michael Jackson. It was also Gary Condit.
Yeah.
And Winona Ryder. So, I mean, he's an unnerving guy, man. He's, yeah. so.
He's going to snap one of these days. Then the family of the boy accused of Michael Jackson of child molestation is no stranger to legal trouble. They've already been involved in two previous cases that involved abuse allegations. In a lawsuit, the family said that they were battered by mall security guards, and in another case, the father pled no contest to spousal abuse and child cruelty during a divorce fight. Defense attorney Leonard Levine says the family's past legal cases could be critical to the current molestation case if Garagos can show the mother of the accuser lacks credibility.
Yeah, but isn't that the case with all the, like that girl that, well, or the, one of the several girls that ran away with the soccer coaches or whatever we had, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you don't, I shouldn't make blanket statements like this, but I'm just saying, whenever, it just seems like whenever there's a case like this where there's some kid of nearly pubescent or, you know, barely pubescent age being allegedly, in this case, molested or kidnapped or something by somebody, they're always from some nutcase. I mean, look at freaking Ward Weaver, man. It's not like the guy wasn't going up and trolling for kids in the West Hills. You know, you always just go hang outside of Kmart, man. That's all that is. And just, you know, watch for the mom with the cellophane bag full of smokes to come out. You know, just target those kids. That's always how it happens. So, I mean, the fact that the kid's family is a little whack just kind of lends more credence to the fact that he may have done this, because that's how it always is, man. You just aim for the lowest freaking common denominator.
And that's today's Jackson Watch.
There's your Jackson Watch for Wednesday.
Well, in gumshoe circles, they're calling it the case of the pink chihuahua. Susan Long's pooch Casey was dognapped November 8th when she left him tied up outside the San Francisco store while she shopped, which is always a bad move. Witnesses spotted the theft and got a few numbers off the plate of the car in which Casey vanished. Then Long offered a $1,000 reward for the chihuahua. She hired a private eye to track Casey down. Then on November 18th, Long spotted her dog, but a man again drove off with it. She got the license plate number. Please find the car. Happens to be registered to a church. Police stake out the church. Last Friday, Jeffrey Snyder allegedly drove off with the dog. He told officers he bought the dog from a homeless man. Casey had been shaved and dyed pink in an effort to disguise him. This guy's been booked for investigation of grand theft and released on bail.
Nah, I don't feel sympathy for anybody that has a pink chihuahua. You know, it's got to embarrass the dog itself. And you got these people who have, you know, the dogs have got self-esteem of some kind. You take a dog and you dye. It's like those people that buy little... like, you know, you don't buy sweaters for your dog, do you?
No.
Yeah, because that's...
my dog wouldn't stay outside that long.
No, and it's like, you know, and you know the dog just feels like a tool, you know, all his friends are making fun of him. It's like, what's her... It's like Christina used to do that. He would, you know, but there's, you know, great dog, and then you're buying a sweater with little gumdrops or something on it, and the dog just wants to kill himself.
Oh, my dog, my parents' dog gets depressed every time she gets a bad haircut.
Well, of course.
You can tell.
Well, of course. And it's like, especially with poodles and chihuahuas, man, where you're giving it this weird... You're giving it this weird shave where it's like a Q-tip at both ends and then like skinned in the middle. It's just that the poor dog just wants to throw itself into traffic. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our man in Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent and prisoner of Los Angeles International Airport, Jim Roop. How's your new home?
You know, I swear I'm here all the time. In fact, this is my seventh year coming to LAX the day before Thanksgiving. I've yet to get on a plane.
I was just going to say, how many hours of your life do you think you've spent at LAX? And I mean, spent there having no, you know, not having no plans to travel, never going anywhere, just sitting there going back and forth between the Starbucks bar and, like, the Borders books, you know, just talking to Nimrods on their way to, you know, Tijuana or something.
It's countless hours, sir, countless hours.
And so this is the biggest travel day of the year, right?
Well, they say, but it's going really smoothly. I'm very surprised, especially since the TSA is 500 screeners short here at LAX. At least that's what they're telling us. But, boy, the lines are really moving. There's not a whole lot of angry people going on here. It's I'm just having a good time goofing on people, and I'm not reporting any anger.
How could they say this is the biggest travel day of the year when it seems like more people would be traveling for Christmas?
You know, I don't know. Don't ask me that question.
I always think it's a made-up statistic. It's just one of those facts that they just recite every year.
I think, you know, I who knows? But most people are traveling by car anyway. I mean, 86% of the 36 million people traveling are traveling by car.
God, and it just... I mean, they just took a huge tax bite out of all of us to try to fund all of this post 9/11 crap, and yet they're 500 screeners short. So I bet the lines are just zipping right along there.
Well, they were short earlier. I guess it was 6 months ago. The TSA fired some 6,000 screeners across the country because there were complaints they were all standing around. And I'm telling you, we're not feeling the pinch here being 500 short. They were worried about it a few days ago, but what they probably did was no one's off today. Every screener they have available is probably working.
Do you have that thing where they want to they want to unbutton the front of your pants? Do you get that at LAX?
Yeah, that happened to me once, actually.
God. Man, the last, like, four times I've flown, first of all, once they wanted to go through my wallet. They were going through my wallet, because I think I have, like, a little swipe card for the building here, and I think that was setting something off. So that, and then they wanted me to unbuckle my belt. Then they wanted me to take the belt off. Then they wanted me to unbutton my pants. Then they wanted me to unbutton my pants and, like, and do that thing where you look like the Weight Watchers after picture, you know, where you hold your waistband, and I'm kind of a big flabby guy, so there's not a whole lot of waistband to be holding out there, you know, in the first place. But it's just embarrassing, man. It's like the next thing you know, you expect to get the jelly finger in the back room. It's just all kinds of unpleasant. And I was saying earlier, I think if they're going to be unwrapping your Christmas presents, which apparently they do to some people, their asses ought to be responsible for rewrapping that. You know, anything, it's like when the FBI comes to your house and,
well,
they
say, dude, that they give plenty of warning of people not to come to the airport with wrapped gifts, unless you're going to put them in your in your checked baggage.
Yeah, but what's the point of x-rays? Isn't that what they got, the x-ray? And the x-ray, by definition, is something that looks inside of stuff.
Well, that and the bomb detection machine. You put that package in the bomb detection machine, it's going to tell you if it has any potential of blowing up. But apparently, you know, G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip, you know, that's a whole other Megillah.
It seems like you either... It's a whole other what?
Megillah.
That's a made-up word.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you just like put that together like a random conglomeration of vowels?
My chops, man. I'm spending my day at LAX.
I'm sorry. Do they at least pay for you to? You have to eat all that bad airport food while you're there.
Yes, absolutely.
And LAX doesn't have anything good.
The airport food's not that good, actually.
No,
it's kind of a mess.
Do you ever just do this? Do you ever sit at the airport? I mean, I know people have talked about this, but Henry Rollins made this point one time that if you sit on an airport bench and you watch people walk by for like an hour, you will be convinced after like 40 minutes that you are the smartest person on earth. Because people in airports, it's like being at the DMV where it's, you know that there's got to be smart people going there occasionally, but they're never there when you are. It's like you're just surrounded by nitwits at the airport.
Well, you can tell the people who don't travel much and who have not traveled in the past 3 years. You can definitely tell them.
Yeah, and there's always that handful of people that are caught off guard by the, has the luggage been with you the entire time? Have they, you know, and just always people didn't know the questions were coming and they got to quit. Do they even ask that anymore?
Well, they announce it. There's a constant tape saying, you know, don't leave your baggage alone. It will get lonely.
Yeah.
It will be confiscated or something.
I saw that happen. Where was it? Like the Salt Lake Airport a while back. Some kid comes over, sets down his luggage, walks about 40 feet away to the drinking fountain. And he hadn't been away from his bag 10 seconds, and like some aged, like Larry Bud Melman looking guys come out and they like take his bag and take it back behind a curtain and start going through it and tossing all his stuff on the ground.
They're serious about not leaving your baggage alone. You walk away from your baggage, and if they don't see you walk away from it, so they don't know it's yours, someone's going to come by and say, this is all by itself. I'm going to get the bomb squad out here and blow it up.
Hey, wait, somebody says it is a real word. Is this Anaya? Anaya? Anaya, in Portland?
Yes.
Hey, what's your name?
Anaya,
that's a great name. You're not that chick from The Real World, are you?
No.
All right, just checking. So it is a real world. A real world. It's a real word.
It is. Megillah? Yeah, it's a real word.
It's not. I thought it was just a gorilla.
No. Megillah is a Yiddish word. It means, like, group or big group of things, like a classification.
Megillah, group.
It's a whole new classification.
It's like myriad, then. Or
sort of, yeah, except it's Yiddish. You take the whole Megillah, yeah.
Can I just tell you how much I love Yiddish? If I had just a spare 2 years of my life and like $50,000 to pay my expenses, I would just sit around and learn Yiddish. It's just
well,
the greatest
language.
All
you have to do
language.
Is hang out with old Jews.
In Portland, easier said than done, you know? All right.
Yeah, it's not an easy prospect here, really.
All right, thank you, Anaya.
Thanks for backing me up, honey.
All right, there you go. All right, there you go. There's CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop at LAX.
Why don't they offer gift wrapping on the planes?
Hey, that's a good idea.
I think it is.
They ought to. They completely ought to do that.
They can hire some of those screeners they just fired to wrap a Christmas gift.
All right. We got more on the way. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. A Brittany watch we have. Also, what else? Pick Watch. Bunch of stuff coming up. Top 5. Jolie from the front desk. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, here's the traffic with Sarah Dillon.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
We're going to do top 5 words that sound Yiddish yet are not. You know what else sounds Yiddish? Shpadoinkle. That totally sounds like a Yiddish word. All right. It's just, you know, the thing is, Yiddish is the easiest language to sound curmudgeonly and cranky in. That's what makes it so great. Yiddish is the perfect language in which to yell at a child to get off your lawn. If I could, I'll tell you what, man. I'll give undying props and respect to the first person who can tell me how to say get off my lawn in Yiddish. That's the first. I want to like a Yiddish phrase book. There probably is such a thing, but I don't have one. I'm just saying. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. In the KOTK newsroom, here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Hick Watch.
Here's your Hick Watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good.
Shoo-bidi-wop-ba-ba.
Copenhagen, the way I know it should.
Why
put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen
makes me feel so good.
Now, I don't know what state this is from. It says Dateline Johnson County. Sounds kind of like Texas to me. Anyway, Washington County authorities say one Ku Klux Klanman accidentally shot another participant at the initiation of a new member and then ran from the incident.
Yeah.
Chief Deputy Patrick Littleton says about 10 people were at the KKK initiation. Now, this just came out. This isn't like 10 years ago. This just happened. And two of them were children. They had the initiative blindfolded and standing on tiptoes with his neck in a noose as they shot paintballs at him. This in the woods near a limestone. Littleton says 45-year-old Gregory Allen Freeman started firing his 9mm pistol into the air to add realism to the event as one of the slugs hit Jeffrey Moore as it came down. The bullet struck the top of Moore's head and came out near the base of his skull. Deputies arrested Freeman near his town in Elizabethton after the incident. Freeman is free on bond, charged with aggravated assault and felony reckless endangerment. Littleton says it appears none of the Klan members were wearing robes, and he says they were all local people.
They're a low-budget Klan. They're sort of a discount Klan. What are they called? A clavern? Yeah, they're sort of a Woolworths of Klan meetings. There you go. There's your Hick Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Copenhagen makes me feel so good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen
makes me feel so good.
How about you? Dateline, Oil City, Pennsylvania. There is such a place. A thrown butter knife sticks in a baby's head. A woman throws a butter knife. Well, this is a holiday season. In small town America.
Well,
where all the honest folks live.
Rick Emerson's
salt of the earth folks.
Rick Emerson's joy of Christmas continues.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't see that coming. I just did not see that coming at all.
You know, when he starts.
Meanwhile, after the Klan initiation.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, it's like you read the headline, and as each word gets out, your brain. You know what it is? It's like. It's like one of those autocomplete functions in the URL window of your Internet Explorer. As you're typing it, you know, the way the computer's putting up a list of possible words, trying to figure out what it is you're going for. So it is with these stories, because you hear, let's say, you know, thrown, and then you're thinking, thrown from a horse. Thrown, you know, whatever. Thrown horseshoes. Thrown butter knife, and you're thinking, thrown butter knife puts out man's eye. Thrown butter knife, you know, kills whatever, mule. But it's like at no point do you see thrown butter knife sticks in baby's head. babies are getting softer with every year too. When I was a kid, babies had tough heads. Not
parquet.
Seriously. I mean, I'm sure this is the lead story in Oil City Eyewitness News tonight.
Does that mean that you start saying that the knife went through butter like a hot baby? I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay, that was too much. That was over the line.
Parquet.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let's treat the story with the seriousness that
it is. So let me start over, in case you missed it, or didn't believe your ears. A woman threw a butter knife at her boyfriend after he pulled down her pants, but the knife lodged in her 6.5-month-old son's head. The infant was rushed to UPMC Northwest, apparently some hospital, later flown to a children's hospital in Pittsburgh where they knew what they were doing.
I wonder if they shot the parents while they were at it. That should have been either the child was rushed to a hospital and the parents were taken out back and put down like a rabid mule.
So we have 23-year-old Samantha Carla Hoppin of Clintonville.
Clintonville, yeah.
Which is next to Oil City. In jail on assault and reckless endangerment charges, she was taken to Venango County Jail, where she posted $20,000 bail. A telephone listing couldn't be found by her, or her. Apparently she doesn't have a phone. Hoppin's boyfriend pulled down her sweatpants while Hoppin was in the kitchen preparing food. As she was walking away, she threw a butter knife at him. The knife became lodged in the baby, who was in the baby walker in the kitchen.
Jesus.
There were no horses involved in this story.
I mean, it's like on how many different levels could they be a hit couple? There's no apparent...
He didn't pull down her pants, he pulled down
her sweatpants.
Well, they were getting ready to go out for a night on the town. They were going out to the honky-tonk to play bingo.
They had on their Sunday best. Oh, God. All right. We have,
I got something here, too.
All right. We only got like 20 seconds.
20 seconds?
All right. Well, should we just tease what's coming up next hour?
Well, we have a Britney watch. We have, more warmth of the holiday season stories for you.
More of Rick Emerson's joy of Christmas continuing.
Ewan McGregor is upset that his penis is chopped off.
Okay.
And plenty more.
Plus the top five, Jolie from the front desk and, your phone call. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. Don't go anywhere.
Portland. It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Here's your Northwest update.
Hey, Riley with you. Brought to you by AutoZone. There's a 3-day special going on tomorrow. Make that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only. Why, you can get wiper blades starting as low as $1.99 each. You heard right. That's 40% off, but there's a limit of 2 this weekend only at AutoZone. A stolen car driven by a desperate suspect attempted to elude the cops. And then he ran over a cop who was lying down spike strips to stop him. It swerved and hit Portland Police Sergeant Dale Larson at Southeast 117th Avenue and Southeast Stark Street last night. Larson treated and released the suspect, 24-year-old Dustin Griffin, facing numerous felony charges. It's a gift from ODOT. I-84 has reopened, so now you can spend Thanksgiving in LeGrand and Pendleton. No reason to thank them. The trucks going through there have to put on chains, and so should you if you're heading on over in that direction. About 2,100 gallons of diesel fuel spilled after a frozen water line broke beneath a local fuel station in Phoenix. It's been repaired by crews. What's this story doing in the Oregon summary? We don't know. For the Metro 4 cash, showers likely today. Highs near 50. Cloudy tonight. More showers. Same for tomorrow. Jim Riley, KOTK News.